Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Friday, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. It is his favorite day and a lot of us' favorite day.
Party!
It's halfway through Friday, so why don't you just take the rest of the afternoon off after you're done
go listening. To the carnival?
Yeah, you can go to Kaiserfest.
Kaiserfest right outside our front door here.
Thanks for joining us on 1430 KYKN. We've got an interesting hour with three different guests. We're going to try to sandwich in 1 hour. So three different topics, completely separate. And this first segment is pretty interesting. I know I get excited about a lot of strange things.
All the time.
It's that mind of mine where I'm curious about just about everything. But this is coming up, and it's an interesting topic, and I don't know how they do it. Jeff McGowan is with us. He's the Area Census Office Manager for the Oregon Census. U.S. Census. And he's tasked with trying to count us all. He's personally going to go door to door in every door in Oregon.
Yeah, good luck
Idaho,
with that, Jeff.
And no, I'm just kidding. He's not. Anyway, I want to hear about the census. I want to hear how they do it, what they want to know, how they get people to fill out the dang thing, what if they do, if they don't, and how do they get a whole army of people to count every man, woman, and child in America?
Right.
Isn't that, every 10 years, by the way, let's hire somebody up real quick and count everybody and then quit. And then wait for another 10 years. Fascinating. All right, Jeff, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Brent. And Dave, great to be here.
It's nice to have you here. I told him, we're going to pepper you with questions, so don't worry about not having things to talk about.
Yeah, right.
So you're hired. You have an office here in Salem, right?
Yes.
And I was laughing because you said you're the Area Census Office Manager. And I'm thinking, is that Marion County or is that Marion and Polk County? So what is that area?
So the area responsibility for our office currently for early operations includes all of Oregon, also Hawaii and Idaho.
Wow, that is a big area. That is a task. And that's a lot of different demographics too. You've got some big cities in there. You've got some very remote and rural areas in there, right?
Yes.
But you got to count them all.
Yes.
That's your job.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Oregon, Idaho, and Hawaii. All right. But office here in Salem, right here in our Oregon capital. All right. So how many different ways? And this is 2019. So obviously, when do you have to wrap? Between now and when does this thing wrap?
So this wraps up. We give a report to the president at the end of 2020 on December 31st, 2020.
Wow. So you basically got a year and a half to count every soul.
Yes.
Wow. All right. So shall we say that you're probably hiring up people to help complete this task?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what kind of person signs up to be a census employee?
Anyone. So we're looking to hire people where they live to work as supervisors and people out in the field doing listing. So we have an early operations here coming up in the fall. That's where we go out and we verify the list of addresses, our master address list and the maps to verify, because things change over time, Dave and Brent, that last time, 2010, there may not have been an apartment complex over here, but now there is. And so were things that were there that aren't there now. So we go out and verify the list in preparation for the count next spring.
You don't just get to ask Google?
No.
You can't trust Google on that.
I know. They didn't even know where my house was for a while.
You're right.
Okay. So there's a stage, right? There's a first stage, and that's verify which buildings are where, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So we serve as the nation's leading provider of quality data about its people and its economy. So we can't just guess or look things on Google, but we go out and do things out in the field.
The mission of USNs, the nation's leading provider of quality data. Quality data.
About its people and its economy.
About its people and its economy. Very interesting. All right.
There you go.
It's your count that counts.
Yes.
Right? When it comes to U.S. representation, when it comes to House of representation, and a lot of other things, right?
Yes.
So how, I've got a house and I live in Oregon, and when am I going to expect to hear from you? And how is the census going to contact us?
Well, you should be hearing from us now. So we're out recruiting right now. That's the main focus right now. We're going to be hiring census field supervisors and listers, so that anybody who wants to be, if anybody, you, your family, your friend, anybody looking for a job or even already has a job and looking to make some extra money while helping support our communities, go ahead and apply at 2020census.gov /jobs. That's 2020census.gov /jobs. J-O-B-S.
All right. Is that something people can do part-time, or you want people working full-time, or both?
It depends on the position. So some things, supervisors and managers, it's full-time for the operation, and other people in the office. And then out in the field, it could be full-time and part-time. But
okay.
Yes, so it could have anybody who's looking to serve their community, do their civic duty. It's our civic duty to respond to the census, which is safe, easy, and important.
Yeah,
you already talked about some of the importance, and I could add more to that.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Yes.
Jeff, we're talking to Jeff McGowan. He's the Area Census Manager for the U.S. Census. So you're actually thinking about hiring people now, and then you have to train them up, because phase one, as I understand it, you're going to go out and make sure that the list of properties, the addresses, are correct before you start counting the people, right? So when I say, when are you going to hear from you, I'm not going to get a census request in the mail till next spring or something, right? Is that right?
That's when the invitation to go ahead and do the response to the census, will be next spring.
Okay.
But for the address canvassing, which is where we update our list and maps to make sure they're accurate, that's for the fall. So we are hiring for that right now.
Right now. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about why it's important, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts in a little bit. But so you're going to count all these people. What if I just don't want to be counted? And I don't want that big brother knowing where I live and who I am and what my middle name is. And not like they don't already know, right?
They do know.
But do you run into people that don't want to comply? And how do you explain to them, this is important? It's important to us, actually, to get counted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how many different, what kinds of things does it affect? Obviously, we talked about U.S. representation. How many representatives Oregon gets? Because we have five now, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm relying on Dave to make sure I don't say something dumb like I did earlier this week.
What?
But someday, with the population growth, we might get six. But we're only going to get six if we're counting everybody and we're counting the people as our population grows, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what other kind of federal dollars intersect with the population count?
Yes. Well, it's about $675 billion of federal money that will come back to states, counties, community-based organizations for the services that based on population.
Wow.
And so that's important. It includes schools, roads, hospitals, other services. So it's important that everybody get counted for that reason.
And you were saying...
And it's safe, too. So we protect the data by Title 13, which if anybody violates, Our employees all take an oath for life to protect the data.
Wow.
And so it's protected by law. And any violation of that law and for each incidence of that is subject to 5 years prison and or $250,000 in fine.
I'm kind of a privacy guy a little bit, inherited from my father. I don't give out Social Security numbers to people I don't have to. Listener, you don't have to a lot of times. Sometimes your dentist wants it. You know, you fill out a document. Everybody wants your Social Security number. It's like, I'm sorry, but anyway.
Are they doing a background check on you for your teeth?
However, the census, I don't have as much of an issue with the census. I'm not going to fill out anything for the census that Alexa and Google and Facebook don't already know, really. I'm not as concerned about the privacy in that regard for how many people live in our in this address and things like that. So one of the words you used about why this is important was community. And I know in civic government and regional government, you get block grants based on population. And that is real money that's coming from money the Oregonians that we all send to Washington. Some of it comes back to Oregon.
Right.
And that's going to be dependent on us being counted, right?
Yes.
So, hey, I'm going to help Jeff up here a little bit, but encouraging people, make sure you're compliant. Just turn that sucker in, right? All right, so the nuts and bolts. We're going to be right back. We got, hold on a thought. We're going to take a quick break, and Jeff's got something he wants to tell us, and we're going to get the nuts and bolts of how this happens. All right, you're listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and Jeff McGowan is our guest here today. He's a Salemite with an office here in Salem. His job is with the Area Census Office Manager, the Census. They're going to count. It's that time. Every 10 years, as the Constitution of the United States calls for, they have to count everybody. And taking part, and I'm preaching here a little bit, is our civic duty, but it's important in terms of our representation in Congress. It's important because of how things get redistricted and the lines that they draw based on population and where people live. Local governments use this for public safety, and for emergencies, businesses, real estate, developers. They all use these numbers, the U.S. Census numbers, to decide where to build, say Amazon. A million square foot Amazon facility that Salem is getting.
Right.
Yeah. And where to build housing and where to get revitalization dollars and things like that. So really important data. We need to be as accurate as possible. So, Jeff, I thank you for coming in and thank you for taking on the job. Must be interesting to take on a job with so much responsibility. And you have to do it kind of in a hurry and then you're done. Right. Yes. At the end of next year. So I know there was there's a couple of political questions in that. One, I'm trying to figure out how do you count them? Are you going to, you were talking today before the show about possibly getting people to fill this in online?
Yes.
So how do is there something as a reach out to say fill it out, or can people just proactively go fill it out online?
Yes. Well, the actual count starts next spring in March. And then it varies because Alaska has some of that has to be done earlier for geographic and weather reasons. But in general, starts in March, and then 95% of all households will receive an invitation in the mail.
Okay.
And then there's other households that have P.O. boxes or no street delivery, and so they won't get it via mail. They'll get the invitation a different way. But basically, the invitation comes in the middle of March. They'll get one notice, and then encouraged to apply online, and if they don't, they'll get a reminder. Then if they don't, they'll get a postcard reminder, and then if they don't respond to that, we'll have people coming out door to door to obtain the data.
Wow, knock on the door. Hi, it's the U.S. government. We're here to count you.
Right?
Right. Yes. So how politicized does it get in terms of what's asked in the questionnaire for the census? I know there was a huge fight in Washington about, can we ask them if they're citizens? Right? Do you try to stay out of that and you're just the numbers guy?
That's a matter up for decision by the Supreme Court of the United States.
Oh.
And that said, the important part is it's very, so we, the census, uphold confidentiality of information. And so it's non-releasable. It's not released to law enforcement. It cannot be used about against any persons or households. It's used for statistical purposes only.
Okay. How many people believe that?
It's not released to other federal agencies. We take a lifelong oath to uphold confidentiality. And if any one of us violates that, we can go to jail for 5 years and pay $250,000 in fine for each violation of that.
Wow. That seems like a good secret to keep then. So we talked about why it's important and the Constitution requires it. How accurate is it? I mean, is there any statistics and say, I mean, I find it almost impossible to think that you're going to get to every man, woman, child and get compliance from everybody, especially, and Dave was asking during the break about people who might be here illegally and they may not want to be counted. They may not want to be seen, right? Is there a statistician there somewhere in the U.S. that thinks we're going to get within blank percentage of certainty?
Is it like a plus minus 3%? Like polls?
I do not have an answer for that, but I could find out and get back to you, okay. Brent and Dave. That's
a great question. We definitely have to have you back next year when all the surveys get out.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Well, and we'll continue to be recruiting, too. As we're recruiting now for the early operation in the fall, we'll be recruiting again from September through February for the operation for counting everybody in the spring.
How many people reply as soon as they get the survey and they just, well, I guess 10 years ago, they didn't do it on the internet, right? 10 years it was not
correct.
Email.
This is the first decennial census conducted via online internet.
Wow. And in that regard, I guess the same thing is true. People could report people that aren't there.
Right.
And try to get counted. But I think an under-reporting, how many people, what percentage of the population respond right away? Do you know?
I
know if you, yeah. You haven't been on the job that long, and you weren't doing this 10 years ago, right?
No, I was not. This is my first decennial census, which is actually a very interesting project. It's the largest peacetime operation in the United States.
Largest peacetime
touches
operation.
Every household that in the United States.
Wow,
affects
that's,
everybody.
That's
yeah,
mind-boggling.
That's huge.
Whether you respond or not, it affects everybody.
I always think of how amazing it is that a presidential candidate, you know, does. Creates this infrastructure and these offices, and they're in like all these districts and all these communities across the nation, and they do that every 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they do it really, really quickly and they drop out of the race or what have you. But to every household, and you need to go and count, and you have to be responsible to counting every address, basically, which lends itself to another question. Every 10 years, wow, to fire that up and that kind of organization. It was amazing. You would think there'd be there's not really a reason for the census whole bureaucracy and organization during the interim, right? Does it kind of go away?
The census?
Yeah.
The Census Bureau?
Yeah.
No, the Census Bureau is in existence all the time. So by Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, we do this decennial count every 10 years. It's mm-hmm. mandated. The first census was done in 1790. And,
wow.
But aside from that, the census still does what we call the American Community Survey.
Mm-hmm.
They do other stuff that I have yet to learn as well.
Yeah.
There's so much out there. But
yeah.
So they do that and like to do adjustments to time because once the data is every 10 years, but you still do some gauging growth and other things that working with state and county and other governments to, as we as fine-tune the numbers between decennials, but the decennial is really the official count that basically is very important for the next 10 years. So right now, is the chance to shape your future starts here for the next 10 years.
All right, folks. So the message is don't be afraid of this, right?
Right.
And actually, don't undercount. It actually benefits here in our region. It benefits Marion and Polk County. Everyone who's hearing us here on Newsmakers, it benefits us for you to be counted because it makes a difference on how many federal dollars, how many of our taxpayer dollars come back to Marion and Polk County.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
For roads, for projects, for community block grants, for education, for fill in the blank.
So when you come back next time, spring, when you start counting the people, I have several questions already for that. Because you could over-report or under-report, but how do you verify that?
Mm.
On the online system, is it by Social Security number? I mean, how do you do that?
I don't have the specifics on that right now.
Because you're not there yet. Yes. You're just verifying all the addresses. Well, Google hasn't caught up with my house and it's been there for over 6 years. So if you put my address in, because I'm selling my house right now, it takes you two blocks away on another street in another corner. So people can't even see my house in Google's Earth because it's wrong. So I'm glad to hear that you guys are actually physically going out and checking with your own eyes to make sure that those are accurate, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We're talking to Jeff McGowan. He's the area census office manager for Oregon, Idaho, and Hawaii.
Yeah, it's
local
a big area.
Office, and they're hiring right now.
Yeah.
They're hiring. They wanted to let you know if you want to come to work and learn how to do the listers, he called them, the effort that's coming up in a few months in the fall to verify the list of addresses.
Yeah.
All right. So the question that popped in my head a minute ago is, what about the people that don't have an address?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about that a lot in the community. It's in every community, actually.
Yeah.
You can't turn on the news without hearing something about entire populations of people who are in tent cities. Is that a individual by individual? How does that happen?
Yes, we have an operation for service-based enumeration where we work with local governments and community-based organizations to make sure we count everybody.
Okay.
And well, yes.
It's a task.
That's a huge task.
Yeah. I'm trying to picture, is anybody else trying to picture knocking on door to door from people that aren't responding to the mail, the email, the postcard, the follow-up? You don't call them on the phone, right? Right? There's no phone calls in this process, or is there?
I don't think for that part of the operation, but I don't know that for sure. I haven't got to that point yet.
Well, so many scams, we want to make sure that the listener knows. Mm-hmm. If they say that they're from the census, what the likelihood is that they actually are from the census.
It's going to be wearing a badge like he is. At the door, yes.
Yeah,
I walked door to door for a political candidate last election, and just... I don't know. Maybe it's my own privacy thing, but knocking on people, strangers knocking on people's doors, and I didn't even feel comfortable. And I was, I was dressed nicely and presentable, and just given information for campaigns. But it's just a little level of discomfort in that whole process of having to knock door to door. Which I guess more people respond, the less you'll have to do that, right?
Correct. Yes, and that would be good for the taxpayer. The more people that can respond online, it lessens the cost to do a complete count of everybody.
Did you hear that, fiscal conservatives?
Yeah, right.
Did you hear that? Like we can make it more efficient, right? More efficient and more effective, quicker, if you just respond when you get that thing in the fall. In the spring, next spring.
Next spring. They'll be counting you. But right now you're counting all addresses and verifying.
Yes.
Okay. That's a lot.
Wow. All right. So you said, and you're for the government, so we're going to believe you, Jeff. It's simple.
Yes.
How is it simple?
It's simple online. It could be done as a response to the questions online.
Okay. And how many questions are there?
So you could do that at home. You could do that anywhere with an iPad, an iPhone, or that type of device.
Okay. How many questions do we answer?
Are there a lot?
Or smartphone, I should say, more generically.
Yeah. Yes.
How many questions are there, Jeff? Do you know?
I do not know the answer to that question right now.
Okay. Are they still working on it?
I could get back to you on that.
Okay.
I seem to remember filling out the census, and of course, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and it was who lives here, what's their names, and what's their date of birth kind of thing, or their age. But I also remember filling something out from, which I thought was the Census Bureau, that asked a lot of other demographic questions as well, just household incomes, races, and some of the things were optional. You didn't have to fill them out, but the more data that they wanted to accumulate. Is there really only one set of questions? Everyone's going to get the same set of questions?
For the decennial census, yes.
Okay. But you mentioned...
So the other one may be part of an American Community Survey that we do at other times throughout the decade.
So if I filled that in, it probably wasn't this decennial survey.
No, not the big one. You filled out a little one.
Okay.
Jeff, thanks
for
coming.
We're going to take a break. One last thing.
I was going to say, so if you are, as you or anybody you know are looking for a job, you could be graduating from high school, 18 mm-hmm. years old, looking for some great experience with great wages to get good experience on your resume, apply. If you're retired and you're looking for some extra money, apply. If you're a stay-at-home parent or something that's got some extra time, you want to help do civic duty, to be part of the largest peacetime operation, do a great thing for the country, help your community, apply.
Apply at
2020census.gov/jobs. That's 2020census.gov/jobs. And we're also, by the way, opening a couple more offices for the future operation in the spring, but opening one in Eugene and Portland. And so they're going to be hiring managers and staff for those locations as well. So apply if you apply for the supervisory assessment as part of the application, you could be considered for pretty much any job, non-supervisory and supervisory. And for manager jobs, also those get posted on a separate website at usajobs.com.
Awesome. Jeff McGowan, we appreciate you being here. Good luck as Area Census Office Manager, and we'll talk to you in a year when you're counting us all.
Yeah, right.
All right. Have a good day. Stick with us. We'll be right back, folks. This is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. I want to thank the census for popping in and telling us we're all going to be counted in the next 18 months, every man, woman, and child in America. Wow, that's a task. That'll be fun, though, to see how that fleshes out, and the Supreme Court case, too. That's going to be fascinating, all the arguments of whether or not you can ask whether or not someone's a citizen. All right, new guest in the studio. We told you we'd have three this hour on this fine Friday.
Lieutenant Trevor Winning.
Is a lieutenant with the Kaiser Police.
Got to give him the full title. Come on.
Trevor Winning is a lieutenant. He's a lieutenant. He's Lieutenant Trevor. Lieutenant Trevor with the Kaiser Police is with us because it's Kaiser Fest time, and there is a parade, and there are activities, and there are road closures. We want to make sure that people in Kaiser don't end up in the kind of traffic we experienced in Salem a couple of nights ago.
Don't get him started.
because there's only one bridge. Hey, Lieutenant, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
That's good. How long have you been with Kaiser Police?
I'm in my 21st year.
No.
Oh, yes.
You don't look that old.
Kaiser's that old?
Well, yeah, we've been around for a while.
30-ish years. Okay. So what should we expect as far as, you know, we've got a road closure on Cherry, of course.
Correct.
Right? And other areas that you're going to expect to be impacted?
So tomorrow, starting around 6:45, we're going to be shutting down Lock Haven from McClure to River Road so that the parade entry, you know, the parade runs from Lock Haven to Plymouth, and we have to stage them somewhere. So Lock Haven is where we do that. So about 6:45, we'll start shutting the side streets down on Lock Haven west of River Road. And by 7 a.m., we're hoping to have that all secure so that the parade staff, Chamber of Commerce, can start setting up their check-in booth so that the parade entries can come in and set up for for the parade itself. Once that occurs, about 9 a.m., we'll shut down River Road from Lock Haven down to Plymouth Drive for all north and southbound traffic, because that's our parade route. Parade will start there at Lock Haven, and the actual ending of the parade is Glenbrook. For those that aren't familiar with that, if you know where Burger King on River Road is.
I happen to have been there, yes.
That is the end of the parade. Beyond that, south of that is disbandment area, so folks really need to concentrate on setting up their chairs and actually seeing the parade further north, or at least north of Burger King.
Okay. So you said the staging area is west of River Road.
Correct.
Right? That's an important distinction, because you said that. So people shouldn't plan on, you know, this would be a great time to try to go over to Kaiser Rapids Park or, you know, those kinds of directions.
They could. They just have to understand that they're really, once the parade starts and once we shut down River Road, the only ingress egress to the west side in that area would be Shemawa, until the lead of the parade hits Shemawa Road, and then of course we have to completely shut that down as well.
All right, so Lock Haven for staging is early as 6:45 a.m. right?
Correct.
Can't get in or out.
Correct.
All right, and then everybody, gosh, it's a lot of things to move in and out in a small space.
And I'm driving in the parade tomorrow with our van, so.
Oh, you got a celebrity.
Celebrity. Okay.
He's got the KYKN van.
I do.
Hey, could you try not to get a speeding ticket during the parade? There's going to be a tight, Lieutenant?
It might be tight.
We are going to have lots of police officers out there. So
yes.
Lots of eyes.
Are there any Kaiser police officers that are not working during Kaiser Fest parade?
Just those that work the night shift before and the night.
And the evening shift too. Right?
Correct.
Yeah. All right. So Lock Haven, of course. And then the parade's going to start at Lock Haven, come down River Road about 9.
Well, the parade starts at 10:30, but we shut River Road down at 9 because we have several other events going on, which would be the mayor's pet parade. And that starts at one of the local animal clinics there next to, I believe it's the Wehrmacht. And they will come out off of Lock Haven onto River Road, and they will go southbound until they hit Shemawa, and then turn around and make their way back up to the animal clinic. And then we have also the runners that will take off from the big tent and a River Road. They will run north to Shemawa Road, turn around, go down to Plymouth, and a little jaunt off of River Road into the neighborhood, and then back out to the parade tent.
Oh gosh, so you've got the run, you've got the pet parade, and
I think there's a 5K. I believe there's also a 1K walk as well. There's a couple of different events going on.
I want
on.
The 0K.
Well, you're driving in the van, so that's perfect.
Yeah, I got it now.
All right, so it's closed at 9. Don't plan on moving around, folks, except to get there early and get a spot on the sidewalk, right?
Absolutely. And when we're talking about the sidewalk, if the folks would just understand that we do have a certain percentage of our citizens that are in our wheelchair bound, and we really want to create space so that when you're setting up your chairs, allow that space for folks to traverse north and south on the sidewalks in their wheelchairs. We have found in the past that they set blankets and tents and take chairs 3-4 deep, and then our wheel bound chair folks they can't get anywhere.
Right. Now this is a 4-lane road with the turn lanes in the middle. So how much of the side street of the road can people come out to watch?
Well, we would encourage people to not be on the road. I know we see a lot of kids sitting on the curb.
Because that's pretty wide.
That is pretty wide. Yes, absolutely. You can be in the road. The only challenge that we have and we've had in the past is as the parade, the final wall of the parade is traversing south, we really need to have the folks, when they see the end of the parade, the bicycles, the motorcycles,
right,
and our final wall, to actually, ahead of the end, it may be one or two floats ahead of time, to start packing up and getting off of the physical roadway, because anything behind that final wall is going to be live traffic.
Oh my.
And yeah, becomes a dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have a lot of people trying to move at the same time, both pedestrians, and then they're going to get to their cars, and then they're going to add to the cars that are coming down the road.
Absolutely. And the challenge that we have is that if we stop that final wall and allow the parade that's not going to stop, they're going to continue, then we create a gap. And then you see a lot of folks that will back their vehicles or put their vehicles right up in parking lots so that they can get out very quickly. They see that gap, think it's the end of the parade, and all of a sudden now we have an unknown entity, you know, an unknown vehicle between the final wall and the parade, the last float. And that, as you can imagine, is not a very good situation.
Unregistered entry.
Exactly.
We're talking Lieutenant Trevor Wedding of the Kaiser Police. I'm glad you mentioned parking. So how are people, they're going to get out there early enough to see the runners and the pet parade and the parade is at 10:30, get their seats and all that. Where are they going to park? Or how do you encourage them to get to the parade grounds?
Well, as you can imagine, it's 2 miles long, so there's a myriad of possibilities.
Yeah.
Most of the folks that live on the west side, I imagine, are going to find parking on the west side of River Road, just for the simple purpose of that getting back home is going to be much easier than trying to cross to the east side and vice versa.
So street parking on cross streets.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then what about some of our retailers? Are there parking lots opened up for that duration of time? Because obviously they're not going to be pulling into a
none of those businesses will be open, right?
No, the ingress egress into the businesses on River Road between Lock Haven and Plymouth will have no entry or exit.
Well, down here, and I think it's Orcutt Way, you could be on Bi-Mart's parking lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're able to traverse the back neighborhoods and get into some of those business from the backside, such as Bi-Mart from Cherry Avenue, then those parking lots will be open. And that's a great example of where people will come to park and then they will walk themselves up to River Road from the parking lot.
All right. Boy, there's a lot to do.
Yeah. But pay attention to those no parking here during the event signs that I've already seen on some businesses along Cherry and River Road.
Yes, because that is private property, and
right,
a lot of those folks will want their, because they own the business, they own the property, they want first dibs on parking and their own seating areas. So
yeah,
you do have to be cognizant of that and be aware.
Wow.
It'd be a nightmare for a tow truck, though.
It would be very difficult to get tows in and out, yes.
Yeah.
So many things happening in Kaiser this weekend with the carnival over here, all the rides, all the food, the huge tents, the food carts on Cherry, plus the parades in the morning and so forth. There are a lot of activity to try to keep track of. And a lot of them, folks, are family friendly.
Absolutely.
Most of them, I would say all of Kaiser is family friendly, right? So look out for kids. Watch your speed. Get there early.
Absolutely.
Any other advice from the Kaiser Police?
Just be safe and enjoy the parade.
Alcohol allowed in the street?
No alcohol in the streets.
I prompted you there for that one.
You got to watch Lieutenant.
I'm not saying I'm bringing a flask of margaritas. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that people should be aware.
He didn't hear that.
Should be aware that they should not bring a cooler with a 12-pack of beer.
Right. So yes.
This is morning, people. And it's morning and it's a family thing.
It's not a NASCAR event. So.
All right. Thanks so much, Lieutenant Trevor Wenning. We appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow.
Well, thank you.
And all of your crew. We appreciate everybody working on a Saturday to make it safe for everyone.
Now, I am on a motorcycle tomorrow, so if you need to, you know, have me give, you know, give Dave some problems, you know, I can certainly make a traffic stop, you know, on the parade route. So
wow.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. Hey, stick with us. We're going to finish our week talking to the effervescent and undeterred Mitch Graff of the Volcanoes. We'll be right back on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Hamlin's Nursery.
And welcome, folks, as we finish up your noon hour on this Friday. We welcome the effervescent, I think is the word I used for you, Mitch Graff of the Salem-Kaiser Volcano.
I like effervescent.
You I'm know? Not sure
irrepressible.
I'd use that for him.
Irrepressible.
Hey, can you like imagine, when I was in high school and college, I remember they were looking for census people, and I always thought that would be fascinating to go and do that as a job. And then I came to my senses and decided not to do that.
No.
So, but that was really interesting, just hearing about the
our
district
time is up
and the
now.
States. But wasn't that fascinating what he was talking about? We don't think about that kind of stuff.
I do.
We don't.
That's
think
why
about
we have people
yeah,
like that on.
I love that.
And he's, you know, he's kind of got a personality and a job for a statistician, for an engineer. It's very pragmatic and practical. But how do you handle a question like, what if? What if they don't want to be counted? What
exactly.
if they don't come to the door? What if there's 10 people living there and 8 of them are illegal? What if,
And you see a building that you think there might be somebody residing in. Are you allowed to go knock on the door? Yeah, the whole thing. Very fascinating that most of us don't even think about.
All right, some things to talk about today about the volcanoes, things I want to talk about. We're going to be moving inside the white lines here pretty soon.
Yeah.
I want to hear about Mickey and how his season ended up and the draft coming up. But you had FanFest last week.
We did. FanFest. Dave was out there.
Yeah, had
doing
a great
live
time.
Remote. Had a great time. There was times, guys, and again, this hasn't happened before, at least in a long time. We didn't have any metrics. We had no yardstick to measure by. There was times that on that concourse, you could not walk through there. It was that thick with former Major League players doing autographs. We had our play-by-play there, Payne Patchett there doing remotes with Dave. And we had just fans, new and old, young, all kinds of people out there just sampling the new food, checking out the new paint in the stadium, smelling the grass. It was just a wonderful day, and we're looking forward to doing the same thing
and
next year.
And good food, by the way.
Wasn't that incredible? Oh, yeah.
There was some great food there.
What'd you like, Dave? What'd you like?
What was the best?
Oh, I like that sausage a lot.
Yeah.
But Cafe Yum was also great.
Cafe Yum is always wonderful.
And what?
Wienerwurst Hut is what you're talking
that's
about.
That's the one.
It's their own proprietary recipes brought over from Germany. It's the owner's mother's recipes, and they're doing that at the stadium this year. And yeah, just little slices given out to people.
Melted in my mouth.
Yeah.
Huh. I meant to tell you it's your obligation to taste every bit of the food.
I think he did.
There was little pizza bites, too.
Pizza bites. I've been looking forward to
the
pizza.
Who is that pizza again?
Southpaw's Pizza.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And there's Mexican food.
Good stuff.
El Patron Mexican Drill was doing they had samples of their steak and their chicken.
That's
it wasn't
right.
in anything, just samples of their flavorings and beautiful, robust flavors.
That was good stuff.
Barbecue Nation doing a little bit of pulled pork, the little drizzle of barbecue sauce on there. Yeah, we had great stuff there. And a lot of people responded about the food. They also were talking about how it just feels like it's a different mindset this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we were selling tickets left and right. We had a little bit of issue with our internet. So we had lines out the door, people trying to get in and buy tickets and buy products and bobbleheads and just a lot of positive energy setting the table for what's going to be a phenomenal season this year. So now we're getting ready. We got the parade tomorrow, Kaiser Fest. The rain's going to hold off. Going to have a little bit of sunshine tomorrow. We're going to get through the parade, and Crater will be riding in my car.
Cool.
We have the official San Francisco Giants car will be in the parade as well, and we're handing out pocket schedules along the parade route.
What kind of car is the San Francisco Giants car?
It is, you know, I don't know the kind of car it is. I want to say Dodge Charger, and it's orange. It's got the logos. It's got all the swag. It's beautiful. and he will make sure it is immaculate. There will not be a speck of dirt.
Saturday.
It was there last weekend. It was there, and people were doing little selfies with the car. And yeah, it was just a fun time. And for the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that came out, thank you so much. And if you missed it, you missed it. We'll see you there next year, I'm sure. So we're getting ready for the draft here, June 4, 5, and 6. We are number 10. And then, of course, there's 40 rounds in the draft. And if you don't know anything about the minor league system, of course, you got the big league club, which is the San Francisco Giants.
Go Giants.
Our AAA, go Giants. Our AAA affiliate is the Sacramento Rivercats.
Yep.
I don't know what their mascot looks like. It's a very intimidating sounding, I mean, a river cat, right?
Yeah.
You scary. Saw the Grumpy Cat passed away like last night? Grumpy Cat?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very sad.
What if it looks like a nutria?
Oh, my goodness.
Our AA affiliate is the Richmond Flying Squirrels, another intimidating mascot. Single A, we got a couple of them. We got the San Jose Giants, and then, which is where Joey Bart was placed for this season. And then we have the Augusta Green Jackets. And there's also a rookie league. There's an orange and black. Yeah, the green jackets.
That's so
as opposed to the red or the blue jackets. They switch, you know, 44 long. Rookie league, there's an orange and a black. And they're down in Arizona right now, kind of playing. There's 35 or 40 of them right now. And we also have a foreign rookie league down in the Dominican Republic. So once they do the draft on 4, 5, 6, they'll figure out who's going to be placed here, where the players are going. And then on the 12th, the volcanoes show up, and the 14th, it's time to play ball again. So
the volcanoes show up in the single-A short season. That's why the classic
single-A short season. Everybody else is playing right now, except for some people that are in the extended spring training down in Arizona. Once this draft takes place, everyone goes into a big pool, and then they figure out, okay, which groups are coming here, which groups are going to doubles, single, or extended spring training.
We talk about the atmosphere and how much fun it is, even if you're not a baseball person, even if you're not keeping score on the scorebook and really following the stats and things like that. If you're not really a huge baseball person, how the environment is fun, the activity is fun, it's safe and friendly. But for those of us who do want to do baseball and or are learning about baseball, it's great. It is so much fun to see these guys drafted. They were just playing in college, perhaps, and they're thinking about whether they're not going to go into the major league career or path, and then we get to see them right here in Kaiser, and then maybe a year later, maybe 2 years later, whatever, you get to see them with the San Francisco Giants on TV.
That's right.
That's right. Awesome.
It's pretty cool. I mean, my folks, they were like, oh, yeah, Tim Lincecum, we watched him pitch,
nonchalant.
All these.
Very nonchalant.
Very
That's
cool
right.
to see the youngsters and kind of follow their career as they move through that whole system.
That's, right.
That's a lot of players.
That's a lot of players to figure out where they're going. And sometimes it's not the guy from AAA that gets the call up. It's the guy that on AA that gets, he leapfrogs. Maybe he's not going to get enough at bats. And the big league club wants to get him some at-bats, so they'll go ahead and leapfrog him. It just depends on so many different factors. And the guys in San Francisco sit there and study everything. We have cameras all over the stadium. They watch every single pitch. It's an amazing thing. And Mickey Walker was a first-team all-league, and he's hoping to get that phone call on June 4, 5, and 6. Well, actually, June 4, 5, 6 would be a phenomenal thing. And then we'll see where he's going to be this summer. Jerry and Lisa may be in Augusta. They might be in Salem Kaiser. They may be in San Jose. We don't know.
For those of you who do not follow, Jerry and Lisa, of course, the owners of the Volcanoes.
The owners.
And Mickey's their son, McNary. Athlete, right?
Yes, that's right.
And he's
have
pitching.
Never missed a single game ever since T-ball.
Wow.
Not a single game.
Wow.
And I think they want to keep that streak alive. That's just so special. The
I'd
relationship they
too.
Have with Mickey, and it's just a wonderful story. And we hope it continues right here in Salem Kaiser.
Hope he gets drafted, and hope he's drafted by the Giants. How cool would that be?
That would be awesome.
That
Mitch,
so
thank
fun.
You so much again.
Happy Friday. Happy National Pack Rat Day, and
nice.
Go Kaiser Fest.
Oh. Go there Kaiser we go. Fest. That's we'll right. see you out there, folks. Thanks for joining us on Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. You have a great weekend listening to 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
We'll see you tomorrow.
And Kaiser's listening.
Yes, right.
Kaiser Fest is listening.
We'll see you tomorrow in the parade.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.